Good morning. Today is Tuesday, November the 13th. Joining us this morning is Nathan Vitus from Terrigen. The windmill guys. Sorry. He doesn't have wooden shoes on, though.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. All right. Now, I don't know if you've been warned about how we start our program.
I do not.
All right. So we've got these little phrases called, why do they say that? It's kind of like, how stupid can we make the guest feel? Or the host, either way. So, let's see. Bootlegger. Why is a bootlegger called that? This kind of plays into Texas a little bit, doesn't it?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure, you bet.
I believe the term was referenced to moonshine and whiskey runners that would strap whiskey bottles to inside their boots and strap them to their boots as a way of smuggling it.
You got about 95% of it right. Way to go. Oh, not bad for an Aggie. It's long been against the law to sell liquor. It had long been against the law to sell liquor to Indians, especially on the reservations. However, in the days when men wore high boots, it was easy to smuggle in a flat pint or quart to them by slipping it into the leg of the boot. Hmm. So you were like 95% of the way home there. But you were probably thinking more frat party.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Now, we've been hearing the name Terrigen around a little bit more frequently, Nathan, in the last couple of months or so. Mm-hmm. What is the name? Where is it derived from?
Sure. I'd have to look up the Latin meaning to answer you.
Oh, it's Latin.
I believe Terrigen is Latin.
Well, terra firma is, okay.
So I don't know. My kids are trying to convince my wife to put them in Latin classes so they know these sorts of things.
Oh, yeah. A lot of kids want to take Latin.
My 8 and 5-year-old. But Gen refers to generation. So we are a power plant company. We develop, build, and operate power plants in the form of wind, solar, and geothermal plants.
So why aren't you called PG&E?
Because PG&E is a utility, Pacific Gas and Electric. They are a public utility. We are not a utility. We are an independent power producer.
So more similar to like some of the cogeneration stuff we see around here with the leftovers from the mills.
Well, we...
Different type,
sure.
But the same philosophical approach.
And at the end of the day, it's a private business. We're a private business that owns projects, and we make money by selling power from
those
projects.
You were going to say profit. I was hoping. So what makes... let me step back. There are two wind generation projects that we're hearing about in our area. One is offshore.
Yes.
And one is kind of out towards the Lost Coast. Are they similar? Are they different? Are they comparable? Are there any parallels?
They are similar by the fact that they use wind as the fuel. At the end of the day, we take wind, we spin a 3-bladed turbine. The wind, I should say, pushes that, and it spins the turbine, and that produces electricity. Beyond that, there one is an apple, and in the words of Matthew Marshall, the executive director of the Redwood Coast Energy Authority, the other's not even an orange. One's an apple, and the other is a zebra. and we wish that project. So I'm the lead developer for the onshore project, south of Scotia, and. We wish that other project the best of luck. It's on a completely different time frame. I think I had seen that project might come on in 2024, and it's kind of like comparing Highway 101 and Highway 36 to Bridgeville. They're just materially different.
I thought you were gonna say last chance grade, but that's okay. So we're. The projects that were being kicked around a couple years ago, similar or significantly different to the one that you're working on?
Sure. So I was only aware of one project a few years ago, and I believe that project was located near Bear River Ridge.
Right.
So immediately south, what would be up the hill as you drive into the town of Ferndale. And so this project is very similar. Similar in that it's a wind project, a power plant powered by Wind is the primary fuel source. It's, in fact, the only fuel source. And the difference being is that we are located primarily on Monument Ridge, which is further to further inland, if you will.
Through a couple more gates, I believe.
Through actually just fewer that, gates.
That's where our transmitter is for Kika.
Yes, I see. Yeah. So we're primarily focused on Monument Ridge. We do if the projects geographically had an overlap, our left hand side, that would be our west side, closer to the coast, overlaps where that previous project was located. So if you can imagine, their right hand side is our left hand side.
So is this project something that's relatively straightforward, pretty simple to put together? Is it something that's extraordinarily complicated? I mean, most of us might have seen a couple of these things either on video somewhere or maybe drove by a couple of these, but as far as actually being familiar with it, what are some of the surprises that people have about this type of a project?
Sure. So yes and no, and several answers to the surprises. So is it simple? Yes, at its most simple, basic description, we use the wind to create electricity.
So like a water mill, except you're using wind.
Exactly. Or any other form. Our fuel source is the wind, which is infinitely available.
And that's why it's on Monument, is because of the wind that area has?
That's correct. Yeah, it's a fundamentally driven reason why we are at any individual location.
KINS, news and information. We'll get the sort of others when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Nathan Vitus from Terrigen. Nathan, the concept of the wind farm, and I guess that's probably the easiest way for most of us to visualize this. Mm-hmm. Why here? Monument, okay, it's one of the higher up areas, but why here? Why not an area that has more wind?
Sure. So the fundamentals is the short version. So several years ago, our company, and we've developed over 40% of the wind projects in all of California. So
are there a lot of them?
There are quite a few. I don't have the exact number off the top of my head, but there's several thousand wind turbines. The wind industry as a whole has a long history in California, but I believe California is now third in the country in terms of number of installed megawatts, which is how we measure the wind industry, the megawatts. But why in Humboldt, to your question? The primary is driven is fundamentals. So several years ago, these are power plants. They take several years to put together. And we looked at about 105 sites when we started our next round of developments. We're periodically making these decisions. And we eventually narrowed that down to in Northern California, what would be north of San Francisco, two sites. We had one near Sacramento, near Woodland, in the Capay Valley. And then we had this one. And so that project did not move
really
forward.
Really, 105 came down to two?
Yeah, in Northern California. We have several in Southern California. But in Northern California, it came down to two. And so we continue to look. We're a fundamentally driven business, like most businesses, I hope, would be. And so what drives our fundamentals are, and when I mean that, our ability to create a profit and to sell a competitive product on the market are several factors. One being the fuel, the winds, the wind speed. How does the wind blow? When does it blow? Secondly, the ability to get our product to market. So when we plug it in our highway to the market, whether it's here locally or someplace else in the state, our highway is the transmission lines, the existing grid. So that effectively is their capacity on the lines as they stand today. So we can avoid spending millions of dollars to pay for all of those upgrades that might be required. And then thirdly is the cost to build, right? So the first two is there a market to sell to? If we get it on the grid, can it move? Assuming we have a good fuel source, we can produce enough energy to pay for the cost of building the project. So the fundamentals is why we're here in Humboldt.
Whenever there's any discussion about any kind of development, you're already smiling. Okay. So you've heard about the Coastal Commission. Mm-hmm. And some of the, let's just say, the anti-development crowd.
Okay.
Any issues with either of those? I mean, I know wind is kind of the cool, sexy. So you might get some of those who typically are in opposition mm-hmm. going, hey, mm-hmm. let's at least hear them out, rather sure. than automatically shutting you down like they have with some other folks. What's been the reception with the governmental entities as well as the local community?
Sure. So initially, we are still treated like any other project. You know, there's a process to go through. Regardless of whether our project aligns with the values or whether someone likes our project or not, they don't give us any shortcuts. They don't give us a free ride, so to speak. So we're held to the same rigorous standards. I would argue because others have failed in this area and before, and I would say from my knowledge and diligence in speaking with parties, failed probably pretty badly due to being tone deaf from my observation, my words. I would say we were even held to a higher standard because we're constantly getting compared to a project that failed that was poorly executed. But overall, I would say we're very happy with the reception we've received, primarily because we aren't asking for favors. What we're asking for is to adhere to the science, to not predispose an outcome. The presumption is XYZ is bad, that this is your impact. And so the purpose...
Starting from a negative position.
That's right. Even for those neutral. That might normally support our project... because it's combating global warming, if they believe in that. So getting to a real, honest discussion has been pleasant. And so I would say the professionals that guide the process are being professionals. You should feel good as a taxpayer in Humboldt County. They're doing their job, but not to the detriment of merely stopping or opposing the project.
So let's leap forward now and all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted and the hallelujahs are said. Okay. Day one. Mm-hmm. Now what?
Day one will become the second largest taxpayer in the history of Humboldt County.
Behind the pulp mills?
Behind, I'll double check, but I believe behind Pacific Gas and Electric. Bear with me.
Oh, okay.
I've spoken with Mari Wilson. Yes, we would be behind Pacific Gas and Electric in terms of the largest taxpayers in the county.
So what does that mean?
That means we have the potential beyond just being here, beyond providing fuel that could benefit the county in terms of a lower electricity cost. And I say county, that's all ratepayers.
Even commercial?
Even commercial.
That'd be a stunner.
Now, we won't be striking contracts with every business, every Starbucks, every hardware store, but we seek to and are presently in discussions with Redwood Coast Energy Authority, the local community choice aggregator, to sell them a portion of the power. They're going through a competitive process, which we'll submit a bid for. But what does that mean to your question? It means that we have the potential to offer local power. So it's very consistent with what we see here in Humboldt. As opposed to buying power and sending those dollars elsewhere and you get power brought in, you have, number one, a great resource that you can consume locally, and you have the local benefits.
It's 8:30.
community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Nathan Vitus from Terrigen. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, American Ag Credit, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Nathan, the concept of wind energy has kind of been eco-groovy for a while. Is it starting to mature to the point where it's not PC, because it doesn't have to be PC. It can stand on its own merits and doesn't need any of the special accommodations that some of the others still are requiring.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely, it is. Thank you for giving me that softball.
I realized I probably gave it a hanging up high for you, but
for your audience, let's call a spade, right? Historically, the wind industry, the renewables business have been labeled as a subsidy-driven business.
Huge subsidy.
Huge subsidy. Yeah. So first of all, I always like to say, let's try and get on an apples-to-apples discussion when we're talking about subsidy. Now, I should fully disclose, you know, my family, I live in Houston, Texas. My family's from South Texas, in the middle of...
Does that mean you like the Rockets?
No, I'm from San Antonio originally, so I like the
Spurs. Oh, Spurs. Well, okay.
Probably not.
You can stay in the control room. We're okay.
But I say that, you know, here at Thanksgiving, I'll be deer hunting on our family ranch where... And for 100, and we've owned it for 104 years. And for about 100 of those years, there was nothing on it but mesquite trees and deer and doves. And now there's oil and gas there. So I believe in global warming. Let me fully disclose that for your politically inclined crowd. But the reality is the pipelines that lead to those oil and gas wells on our ranch, those pipelines are funded by a tax treatment known as a master limited partnership. The master limited partnership is a perfectly valid thing. It's been on the tax code since, I believe, the 70s. But effectively, it's a tax treatment. In the words of a CFO I knew quite well one time, one man's subsidy is another man's policy. So I'm indifferent. You know, I'm working on a wind project. I am a Texan. I'm from South Texas. Our family has oil and gas wells on their place. But the pipelines leading to those receive a tax treatment.
Well, but you're familiar with the stereotypical concern that a lot of folks have about.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's.
Yeah. The concern is that, is this a valid industry? How does it survive without tax credits? So the great news is that the industry is evolved and maturing. So the tax credits are currently sunsetting and they will step down and go away. So as part of the last Obama administration, there was a negotiation over the budget, and the wind industry agreed to sunset the tax credits. So those are, you know, that's writing on the wall. That doesn't mean our industry is dead. What that means, it gives us a predictable runway about what's going to happen. The reason this is a good thing long term for our industry, but more importantly for taxpayers in the United States who buy electricity, is that right now, when we go to finance our project, because we have this special label of tax credits, we only have a few parties to go to. So we have 13 or 14.
So it's a restrictive label.
It is, much like many labels can help, but also can limit and restrict. They can help initially, and that's what they've done. But the time has come because the technology, the good... speaking honestly, the good American technology, the technology in Schenectady, New York from GE, my dad's an electrical engineer. The engineers over the last 20 years, they've evolved this technology. They've let, preaching to your crowd here, they've let good American engineering brains have done their job. And so the same turbine that I deploy today is 30-40% more efficient than just 2 to 3 years ago. And so that compounding.
Is that computers or is that just design getting better and better and better as you make more and more and have more data?
It's many variables. It's all of those and the control systems inside the units. The blades are longer. The three blades, that swept area, that big, if you were to draw a circle, that's our carburetor. Our carburetor is bigger because we have longer blades. We have higher towers because the construction science has gotten better. So all that is to say, as a result of us becoming much more efficient, and because like your house or a life insurance policy, these are financed on a 25-year basis. So if you think what happens when you reduce the cost, the interest rate, the cost of your money over 25 years, that has a huge impact. In the littlest difference in your interest rate has a huge impact in how much interest you actually pay. And so as a result is that when we take off our tax credit hat and now we can go to every bank on the corner, now we have a lot more, we have capital markets. We have many more banks to go to provide debt for our project.
Is wind energy, Nathan, sexy, trending, positive? I mean, if the tax credits are gone, so the complications are gone, would banks be lining up to finance wind turbine projects?
Absolutely. And thank you for saying that. I tell my wife that I develop sexy power plants. She doesn't always believe it, but you know, she's believing
it. She just
it
hasn't seen the drawings.
For 12 years, she's been believing it. but in all seriousness, so yes, I say they're sexy. I think they're cool is probably more an apt word. It's not every day. I'm 42. It's not every day as an adult you get to do something that's cool. I love what I do. But relative to the banks, so is it the underlying question is, I believe, is this a passive? Is it something that's going to go away because it's in vogue? So I don't. The answer is no. And the reason being is that wind energy, so when we have an operating wind project and we're producing energy, the contracts that support this, so when we sign a contract with the Redwood Coast Energy Authority, or my last project when we signed a power contract with Procter & Gamble, those contracts are 12, 15, 20 years. And so from an investment point of view, as a business owner, that's very attractive for a bank to lend into because they say, hey, I know that you're going to be able to sell your power the next 15 years. So your income stream for your business owners listening, your income stream looks very stable. It looks like a mortgage. Someone's got a job that's going to be there to pay the rent every year.
And it's not like we need less energy.
No, and in fact, the infrastructure, as we've heard, many administrations have preached us, our infrastructure, factually speaking, is getting older in this country. Part of the infrastructure is the utility grid, whether it's the existing power lines, but more importantly, the power plants. Right here in Humboldt County, we have a project that's been decommissioned.
Yeah, the nuke plant is gone.
Right,
yeah.
Absolutely. And so we have an aging infrastructure, so we have to replace that just to keep up with the demand. And to your point, we are growing. But what we're doing, we're getting more and more efficient, not only producing the electricity, but in actually consuming the electricity.
KINS, News and Information Times, 843.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning. Final couple minutes with Nathan Vitus from Terrigen. Nathan, when we have had other industries, and I guess the one that is easiest to come to mind for me is the timber industry, when it was more viable than what it is today. There were a lot of ancillary businesses associated with servicing those who are in that industry. Mm-hmm. The tire guys, the diesel mechanics, the Caterpillar tractor sales, all that kind of stuff that was here. What kind of impacts do you see on that second and third level mm-hmm. once you guys are up and running?
Sure. So the short answer is once we're up and running, the sales tax associated with the project, the consumables and the usage is actually not that much, to be full disclosure. The real impact are the construction jobs associated with the project. Now, these are highly technical skilled, many specialized labor. There's about four or five companies, general contractors in the United States that really specialize in building this. So it's not like
you're not cruising Fifth Street and seeing which one you want to use.
That's right. That's right. Unless, you know, RCEA wants to pay, you know, 30-40% more because we, you know, or any customer. But that's not reality, right? Reality is we have a highly professionalized, evolved industry. And so there are plenty of jobs that can be hired locally for certain. And, you know, we intend and likely will hold local job fairs and so forth. But the reality is the impact, you know, what we're projecting is during construction at maximum height, if you capture every single job, the direct employment would be, you know, up to 300 construction jobs in operations and permanent jobs, up to 15. So if you think of this as a plant that's got to operate 24 hours a day, we'll have a crew of about 4 to 5 people.
Is this the only one?
This is the only project, yes.
Any chance that, like, Del Norte County might get one?
It could. And it's a function of the grid and the capacity in the grid. Back to the fundamentals discussion.
I figured it was all fundamental-based.
I mean, the primarily long-term benefits here are the tax revenue. You know, so in the first 10 years, we're projecting up to 25 minutes. The life of the project, over $76 million of tax revenue.
We might even get some paved roads around here.
Perhaps.
All right. Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.